89.5 FM. I'm hearing Phil Taylor, so that must be me. Today we're going to talk about a little bit about the Brexit, as though it's obviously creating a lot of anxiety, and there's going to be a new prime minister, as a matter of fact, in Britain in about 2 days, thanks to Brexit. And we're going to be speaking to Des Dalton of Republican Sinn Féin to get a take on matters from Dublin. And we will also be talking to about NATO in this latest meeting that took place in Warsaw. Kind of a dangerous, certainly troubling business. We're going to talk to Murray Dobbin about that. Canada is behaving sort of, I guess the Americans would say, no surprise, but some Canadians probably are registering a bit of surprise that Trudeau is not quite the personality, the type of personality they thought he was. And toward the end of the program, the latter third, we will talk to Zafar Bangash, Crescent-International.net. And Zafar knows a great deal about the war in Syria, the problems of Turkey, the new relationship between Erdogan and the Russians. We hope he can explain that. We know he's probably studied enough psychology to be able to help us out. Mr. Erdogan is someone who, the more you listen to him, the more you wonder if he has professional help. Anyway, I will say that more power to Black Lives Matter. I think they're doing wonderful work. And I know there's a great deal of talk, and I can't think of a better leadership. I don't think anybody's been more courageous, more on point than they have. And in these times, we really appreciate the great work that they do. And but now I believe we're joined by the president of Republican Sinn Féin, Des Dalton. Are you there, Des?
Hello, sorry, Phil. Yes, indeed, I'm here.
I think a committee member answered before you did. It's good to have you. Now, I want to remind everybody, you're president of Republican Sinn Féin. You've been watching closely these events, and I was very impressed by the statement that has been issued. People can find it, I believe, at rsf.ie. Your assessment is to say, to initiate this, is that there's nothing to be alarmed about. This is probably going to work to the good, the British referendum. Tell us what you've had to say about that.
Yes, well, I think on a number of levels, from an Irish Republican perspective, I think, yes, there's a lot of positives to be garnered from all of this. I think on the first level, and this is from probably strictly an Irish Republican perspective, we would see it as a destabilisation, if you like, of the so-called United Kingdom, which from our perspective, as is quite obvious, is only to the good. I think what it has done is, once again, it has exposed the inherent contradictions that lie within that particular constitutional entity. And that's evidenced by the fact now that the Scottish First Minister, Nicola Sturgeon, is already now repeating calls now for a new Scottish referendum independence because of the fact that the Scottish people voted one particular way, whereas the English voted another, but yet it's the English vote that prevails. And likewise for the six northeastern counties of Ireland, showing that democratic deficit that lies at the heart of the so-called United Kingdom. So I think it has exposed all of that, and I think it has, if you like, put a very decisive fault line through all of that. Outside of that, and on a broader level, again, looking at the EU as a political project, and I think this is one of the unfortunate aspects, if you like, of Brexit, is that the right, if you like, the people like the Nigel Farages and so on, and UKIP, were allowed to frame the debate. There is a very progressive left socialist argument against the EU, which wasn't probably properly articulated, but it is still there nonetheless, and nonetheless valid. And it's one that Irish Republicans have consistently put forward within Ireland over the last 40, 50, 60 years against the EEC-EU project. We see it as fundamentally undemocratic, a huge centralisation of power. And what it has become over the last 25 or 30 years is a neoliberal economic monolith, which we can see the effects of it over the last 5 or 6 years. The people of Greece have felt it, the people of Ireland have felt it, working class people throughout Europe have felt the effects of all of that. So from all of those aspects, I think anything that weakens both of those on democratic unions, I think is only to be seen as a positive.
Mm-hmm. I was very glad, you also emphasised, there's this, the EU has been kind of growing without any sort of second thought. I mean, they take in new members. They have a military aspect to them, which is, as we can see this with the Warsaw meeting, rather dangerous.
Mm. Oh, absolutely, yes. And I mean that meeting has thrown that to the forefront. I mean, it's something that our own political establishment here in Ireland have been trying to downplay, and their presence at that they've been trying to downplay, even though ostensibly this southern Irish state, the 26 county state, is neutral. You know, we can see the lie that's been given to that, the fact that US warplanes have been using Shannon for a long number of years to support the imperialistic wars in Iraq and Afghanistan highlight all of that. And yes, there has been an ongoing project of constructing an EU superstate and a militarized superstate that, you know, I mean, Jacques Delors, the then European Commissioner back in the early 1990s, talked about the EU having to fight the resource wars of the 21st century. And we have seen that played out by its presence in a number of conflicts around the world, where it's being siding with NATO-led forces in exactly doing that, consolidating Western European interests over those of the developing world. So all of that is part and parcel of what the EU project is about. Mm-hmm. And within Europe, as I've said already, we see that it's certainly not something that's been in the interest of ordinary people, but those of the neoliberal economic elite.
Mm-hmm. This is Des Dalton. He's the president of Republican Sinn Féin, rsf.ie for the statement and other materials. I was a little surprised. You point out that the right was permitted to sort of take the lead, but historically the left and certainly Sinn Féin, Republican Sinn Féin, and going all the way back to Connolly, was leery of these things. Were you surprised that that so many took a back seat and allowed this to be the argument to be defined by right wing forces?
Yes, it was very disappointing, and particularly we say, looking from a British context, somebody like Jeremy Corbyn, the leader of the British Labour Party, who himself would have very much come from that tradition. I know with people like his political mentor Tony Benn, would have been one of the leaders or most articulate exponents of those arguments. And obviously within an Irish context, we've seen provisional Sinn Féin, led by Gerry Adams, doing a complete fall fast. Not for the first time, obviously, as you're more than well aware, Phil. They've already done it on an Irish basis in terms of the Republican position and their attitude towards British rule in Ireland. But now they've gone, you know, they've broadened that out now to obviously not only embracing British rule, but now they've embraced the EU, we'll say the new imperialism of the EU. And all of that, yes, absolutely, was disappointing. And I think there was an abrogation, if you like, of responsibility by elements of the left in not coming forward to do that, by allowing, if you like, those forces which traditionally would have been the biggest supporters of the EU project for many years on the right to take a lead. And take a lead on issues such as migration, such on very xenophobic, very narrow arguments. I mean, as I said to you, there's plenty of really strong progressive democratic arguments to be made. And unfortunately, they weren't made by the people that should have been doing so.
Yeah, I have from your text here, it says, we're proud of our record of consistently opposing the construction of a militarized and undemocratic superstate in every referendum held in the 26 counties since the original referendum on membership of the EEC in 1972. you know, people, it's almost like they were opposed, and then they began to sleepwalk into this. And the principles on which they were opposed haven't changed. But was it Blairism? Was it getting nice paychecks or being a member? Or what caused that?
Exactly. That's a very good way to describe it, Phil. That's exactly what it's been. It's a process of assimilation, I suppose, and it's something that, if you want to chart with Provisional Sinn Féin, the Gerry Adams-led organisation, no more than their initial embracing of British rule, it's done incrementally, it's done in stages, and it begins with a protest about this whole project. But I always think this is the key phrase: we need to engage. First of all, it was a need to engage with British rule. Then we need to engage with DEC. So we need to, if we are elected, we need to take our seats in the European Parliament, and we need to engage in this process. And it's a critical engagement is always the one, if you like. I think that's always the warning sign. But that critical engagement then very much becomes becoming part of that system, of taking positions within it. And suddenly the system itself becomes something that needs to be protected and defended because, as you say, the salaries, the dependency on it and so on. And ultimately, historical revolutionary experience and the lessons of history show that you do not change these systems from within. They change you fundamentally and ultimately, and that's what happens. Yeah. And that's what has happened in these situations.
Yeah, it's not a comfortable job. We're speaking to Des Dalton, president of Republican Sinn Féin, and again, it's rsf.ie. And... well, I thought you made many good points in the statement, and one that certainly resonates with me. I noticed you mentioned Tony Benn. Now, his son, Hillary Benn, I'm only aware of two speeches by him in the past year. One of them, the last time I saw him on his feet, he was calling for the bombing of Syria and as though it were a sacred cause that Britain had to do. And the next time I saw him on his feet, he was saying Jeremy Corbyn had to go.
Yes.
And by the way, on that point, if you call for the bombing of a sovereign country such as Syria, and particularly if you come from the Republican tradition, isn't that absolutely a splitting issue where you say, well, look, we're out of here. If people are going to talk about bombing other countries, there isn't any basis to be in such an institution as the EU if they're going to say that it's all right to commit aggression.
Absolutely, and you have to ask what's your red line in those situations. And indeed, yes, and I don't like reducing any of these things to the level of the personal or the personality, but it did sadden me to see somebody like Hillary Benn coming from the tradition he came from, and Tony Benn, from my own perspective, was always somebody I would have had great admiration for, and as a British politician or an English politician, I always saw him as one of those very progressive, part of that great and very noble English tradition of progressive Republican politics. But yes, indeed, you do have to wonder what is the bottom line for any of these people, and how sincerely held are any of the other so-called quote-unquote values that they espouse, because on something as fundamental, as you say, as bombing a sovereign nation, yes, and attempting to interfere with its own processes, well, once you're willing to accept that, then really, I think, all bets are off at that stage.
Yeah, certainly. Well, I would like to see more people talk about the matters that you take up, which is what is our fundamental position? What is with whom would we unite, and where would we draw red lines against cooperation, particularly if we're going to create a super state? But as you say, actually now we're in a phase of what's going to be a radical change. And of course, it's rather unpredictable situation. But you go and you conclude with the reminder that the Republican Sinn Féin has been for a community of free nations, as envisaged by James Connolly. And with such a community of free nations, all Ireland, Federal Democratic Socialist Republic could take its rightful place. Talk a little bit about James Connolly and what his concept was.
Well, again, we talk about democracy and how it operates, and obviously, one of our key arguments against the EU is the lack of democracy and democratic accountability. mm-hmm. and the centralization of power. So, on a national level, first of all, you know, we would argue, and the progressive argument against the EU is that the most fundamental democratic unit at which that kind of democracy can exist is the nation state. And within the nation state, then, you know, a maximum decentralization of political power decision making, you know, from the national right down from an Irish context, the provincial, the regional, the local, the community. And then within nations, between nations, we wish to see that not only democracy within nations, but between nations. So that there, yes, absolutely, it's not some kind of isolationist, narrow concept we would have. I mean, Irish Republicans are very much international, in the best sense of that word. So we want to see international cooperation. We for instance, the Celtic nations of Ireland, Scotland, Wales, hopefully maybe a free Brittany and Cornwall and the Isle of Man, that there would be a league there, much on, the Nordic model, the Nordic League model. A basis of mutual cooperation, of mutual benefit, and likewise within Europe, and indeed, but not confined to Europe, but also maybe something that, an equal and democratic interaction between the developing and the developed world and so on. And all of that's the kind of vision that Connolly talked about, that kind of international democracy, a democracy between nations and between peoples. Yeah. And I think that's the vision we need for the 21st century.
Yeah, it's one that respects other people, but particularly working people. And the concept is do no harm. You don't beggar your neighbor. You care about your neighbor.
Absolutely, yes. That's indeed. And that kind of cooperation and that willingness to work and to look out for each other, I think is a fundamental part of what we are as human beings.
Yes. Well, Des Dalton, it's great to talk to you, President of Republican Sinn Féin. Thank you very, very much. We look forward to talking to you again in the future about these developments.
You too, Phil. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
And that's Des Dalton, the President of Republican Sinn Féin. You're listening to Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. We're going to hear a little bit of Phil Oakes, and we're going to come back with Murray Dobbin.